Jack, straight from the gut. Jack Welsh was a hard-working man who would never quit until he achieved the best results for the job. He never lost his personality from his entry into the company and ideology of how he would like to operate. In 1960, when he was hired by GE, he came in with a great disappointment for the bureaucracy with which the company was run. He went up the ranks seeking opportunities to make the company better in all of his job positions. He was successful in the same. Early life. I grew up in a small town called Salem, Massachusetts, brought up in a humble family but who were descendants of Irish immigrants. My father was a railroad conductor. Although he played a great role in my upbringing, it was my mother who molded my upbringing the most. Most of my character can be traced as a reflection of my mother's character. She was a kind-hearted woman. She instilled discipline and encouraged me to study. My competitive behavior was shaped during grade school and in high school days when I used to participate in different sports. I also liked to learn how to work hard for what I earned, and as I worked for tips at a nearby golf course. I stammered as a kid, although that did not bother me much. I trusted my mother when she told me that my condition was a result of being so brilliant that my mouth could not handle my brain activity. This helped me develop his confidence greatly. My mother had brought me up with encouragement to be independent and survive on my own. Career early stages. After missing a spot to join the Navy, I went to college and University of Massachusetts. Afterwards, I joined graduate school in Illinois and later got my PhD. It was during my higher studies period that I met my first wife. By the time I completed my PhD, I was aware of my core competencies and interests. Although I was not the best skilled and talented scientist, I compensated my shortcomings with my love for people and sports. Working at General Electric. I was employed by GE. My start at work, I was hired with the promise of getting involved in creation of groundbreaking plastics that would be used in many applications. After a year with the company, I made a tremendous error that turned out to be my greatest lesson. I had caused an explosion in a laboratory during some chemical tests I was managing. However, rather than getting scolded, I was encouraged and told that it was normal during experimenting. This was a skill that required one to learn when to be soft and when to play hardball with employees. A series of promotions. When the head of the PPO Plastics was promoted, I was offered the job and was very optimistic. I arrogantly boasted of my prospects of success as the manager of PPO production. In 3 years, I lived up to my boastful projections, giving myself a new job opening. I was promoted to the head chemical and metallurgical division in 1971. This was despite the reservations some of my seniors in the corporation held. I keenly followed up on progress, as my mother had taught me, and I reprimanded managers below me severely to work hard on issues. If they failed on the task repeatedly, they were laid off. I made great appointments to make up a team of the most hardworking personnel in the group. I encouraged the hardworking employees with huge bonuses as my policy was to reward each employee by their performance. The group executive. After 2 years, I made my big break to the big league by being promoted to the position of group executive. This department commanded over $2 billion in annual sales. I convinced the vice president, Herm Wies, to let me work from Pittsfield, where I built my life, so I was quite reluctant to leave the place. In the new position as the group executive, I had the opportunity to run a bigger entity and learn ways that would change the bureaucracy in the company. Although it was a big enterprise, I ran it as if it was a small company. After running the executive group position successfully for 4 years, in 1977, I was promoted to the sector executive for the consumer products businesses. This promotion was part of Reginald Jones's retirement preparation, becoming the chairman of GE. I think my success was a result of being a visionary. When I was promoted, I campaigned for an opportunity to change some managerial positions, and when I did, I was able to increase the company's net income through investing in intellectual capacity. During the campaign for Reginald's position, I never lost my sight on what I needed to accomplish. I had the guts to pull out of a deal I made when I saw that the company would lose from it. Eventually, through networking with other employees and finding new approaches to make the company a success in every task I handled, I was successful in becoming the chairman of GE. Being the CEO was just the beginning of a new challenge. I had a vision of making the company either number one or number two. Whenever I had a meeting with Wall Street or other employees, I would always find a way of bending the message to be about my vision for the company. During that period, not many people understood me. It was all new as I aimed at improving on service provision, technology, and manufacturing. During my early years in the position, I sold some businesses that I deemed unprofitable for the company. I built new structures of management that led to laying off thousands of employees along with the businesses they ran. The moves I made were supported by my partners, and the team they made was a great success. It was evident during the first decade at work that the most successful companies needed to adopt a personnel-oriented management program, losing one day and gaining the next. Striking the RCA deal was a major success on my part, as I was greatly fascinated by the broadcasting business that made GE a global dealer in medical business. Having missed out on an opportunity before, I was able to successfully secure the deal. My keys to success. On many occasions, I would talk about work when on vacation and also during lunches with other professionals. It was during such discussions that I got ideas from other managers, such as the Walmart weekly assessment of their stores through physical visits. One of the most recognized was the boundaryless thinking format that I thought of during a vacation with my second wife in 1989. I drafted a talk which I gave to the management meeting on my return, and it was implemented as part of the assessment for managers in 1991. During my tenure as CEO, I maintained a focus on the growth of the company. I was keen to detail, interviewing many people on the positions that came up, especially when I purchased a number of entities to support the GE direction of progress. I had great success and also challenges in the process. Final statement. Jack Welch built his leadership position around pillars that revolved around the people. He was keen on integrity, intellectual development, investing in human resources, and diversifying the company's investments to boost growth. He analyzed the company and sold those entities that did not make profits consistently and bought those that would help the company grow. He grew the company to a global level, such that at the end he saw the company buying out competitors in Europe and partnering with other companies in Asia. He had successfully achieved his dream for GE at the end of his tenure.